Okay, is this mic on?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I'm sorry we're not able to get, for some reason, we're not sure why, we can't even, a lot of technical difficulties this morning, we can't even get the mic stand raised. Oh, there it goes.
I need to unwind.
But for some reason, we're not able to get the video projector would not recognize my tablet, and we never had a problem with that before. I've used this many times here, and it's always recognized, no problem. But for some reason, this morning, it would not recognize it. There is one video I want to show. It's a short 3-minute video, YouTube video later on, and hopefully, you know, I'll just turn this around. You're going to have to sharpen your eyes, whatever. But unfortunately, what's that? Oh yeah, we tried turning on and off. We tried everything. this morning I want to talk to you. We're going to look at Revelation 13. But before we get into that, I think it's been 2 years now since I did the series on prophecy. And just to update you some things, you know, the Bible talks about in the beginning of the tribulation period, the first four seals are also known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And one of those was the black horse brings famine. And he says in Revelation 6, a day's wage for a loaf of bread. And it's interesting that the world, this is from The Economist magazine, talking about a global famine is coming, they say, in the next 5 to 6 months, folks. Some of this is because of the war that's going on in Ukraine with Russia attacking Ukraine. I didn't know this, but Ukraine is considered the breadbasket of Europe. And that we get a lot of our fertilizer from Russia, and because we're boycotting Russia, the price of fertilizer is just going through the roof. And also, how many of you have heard that there have been fires of food processing plants all around the country? Yeah, you've seen that. And so it's like there is almost like an organized attack on our food supply. And I think I mentioned in the past, the Georgia Guidestones. Do you remember me talking about the Georgia Guidestones are considered the Ten Commandments of the New Age, the New World Order. And the very first commandment is that the world population needs to be reduced to under 500 million. Well, there's over 8 billion people in the world. So that means the globalists, they want to kill off over 7 billion people. And that's what's going to happen in the tribulation, right? By the end of the tribulation, in fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24, if the tribulation were allowed to go on beyond the 7 years, Jesus said, no one would survive. So as we're seeing this, even the world, people that don't even believe in the Bible are saying, hey, we're talking about a global famine that's going to affect every country in the world. We're already starting to see it here in this country where we can't even get baby formula to feed our babies. That makes me think, wow, we must be very close to the start of the tribulation. Well, folks, for us who are believers in Jesus, we're going to be raptured out before that. We don't have to fret and worry about this stuff. Now, another indication that tells me we're very close to the start of the trib, maybe even this year, is Iran. All right, Iran, they are saying, is going to have enough nuclear material to make at least one nuclear bomb, and everybody knows that Iran, I mean, they make no bones about it. They're telling the world, we want to wipe Israel. We want to nuke Israel. We want to wipe Israel off the face of the map. And they're saying that Iran could have the ability to do that later this year. Israel is doing war games. In fact, this month, Israel is having the biggest war games in their history. It's called the Chariots of Fire war games. And they're simulating an attack on Iran to take out their nuclear program, their nukes. They have a huge nuclear weapons program. They're simulating in-flight air refueling because Israel, their jets can't reach Iran. They would have to refuel in flight. And that's all going on this month, this week in Israel. And then in the past, I've talked about Ezekiel 38, this great war where Iran comes over and they attack Israel, but Iran doesn't come alone. They're Russia. The main instigator is Russia. They are going to the land of Magog, Russia. They are going to come down and they are going to attack Israel. You know what is interesting, when Russia invaded the Ukraine, the very day they invaded Ukraine, they said that they do not recognize Israel's ownership of the Golan Heights. And how many of you heard that just recently Russia is saying to Israel, oh, we want our churches back. Anybody heard that in the news? And Russia's making this big deal. There's several Russian Orthodox churches in Israel. And we want our churches back. Well, what do they expect Israel to do? Pick those churches up and move them back to Russia, So it's almost like, they're trying to, pick a fight and find some way, some reason to attack Israel. They will eventually attack. And Iran is going to join them, Turkey and others. And as we see this all gearing up, it looks like that battle, the Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38, it looks like that could very well happen later this year. Most Bible prophecy teachers say that the rapture will probably happen before that battle. Again, folks, wow. I mean, to me, this is so exciting. This could be the year we've been waiting for. All right? And remember also I talked about the Feast of Trumpets, how the Feast of Trumpets prophetically speaks of the rapture of the church. And could it be that the rapture would happen on the Feast of Trumpets? Not that the rapture could happen anymore. It could happen today, tomorrow. But the first four feasts were fulfilled on the very day. And could it be that the rapture would happen on the Feast of Trumpets? This year, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, is late in September. I think it's like September 24, 25. It's a two-day feast. So that's something just to keep in mind and keep your eye on. So an exciting time, a fretting, a terrible time. The people in the world are fretting because they have no hope. They don't know what's going to happen. But we as believers, this should be a time where we're sharing our faith, we're getting the message out, and saying, even so, Lord Jesus. Turn your Bible to Revelation 13. And I wanted to talk to you this morning, some things that just recently come to light in this passage of Revelation 13 that I'd like to share with you. And John writes, I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Now, in the Bible, the sea, when it's used symbolically, it speaks of the Gentile nations. And what we're going to see later in this chapter, he sees another beast rise out of the land. And the land would speak of the nation of Israel. This beast is rising out of the sea. That's the Gentile nations. It had seven heads and ten horns and ten crowns on its horns. And written on each head were names that blasphemed God. And that's the nations of the world, right? They're against God. They're blaspheming God. The beast looked like a leopard, but it had feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave the beast its own power and throne and great authority. Now, the reason this beast, it looks like a leopard, and also had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. That goes back to Daniel chapter 7. All right, turn your Bible back to the book of Daniel and chapter 7. Because Daniel saw these same three beasts. Daniel 7:2, he said he had a vision, a night vision. Daniel saw the great storm churning the surface of the great sea. So again, when the sea is used symbolically, it's speaking of the Gentile nations. There was great turmoil among the nations of the world. And in verse 3, Daniel 7:3, he says, four huge beasts came up out of the water, each different from the others. The first beast was like a lion with eagle wings. And remember the beast in Revelation 7, also it had the mouth of a lion. So we see this beast here in Daniel 7. He saw it was like a lion. It had two hind feet on the ground like a human being. It was given a human mind. I saw a second beast, and it looked like a bear, and rearing up on its side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and I heard a voice saying, "Get up, devour the flesh of many people." The third of these strange beasts appeared. It was like a leopard. It had four bird's wings on its back, and it had four heads, and great authority was given to this beast. Now, these first three beasts, he tells us later in this chapter, the first one represented Babylon. And it's just, that was like a lion, and a symbol, the national symbol of the ancient Babylon was a lion. The second bear is kind of humped up, and that represented Medo-Persia. And Persia was more powerful than Medo, and that's why one side was raised up. And then the fourth one, the leopard, had four wings and four heads, because what happened was that represented Greece, as Greece conquered Medo-Persia. And Alexander the Great was the leader, and then when he died, his kingdom was divided up into four parts, and that's why it had the four heads. And so these first three are fulfilled really pretty quickly. But then as he sees this fourth beast, verse 7, I saw a fourth beast, terrifying, dreadful, and very strong. It devoured, crushed its victims with huge iron teeth. It trampled the remains of their remains beneath its feet. It was different from any of the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. Now remember, the beast that that John saw in Revelation 13 also had 10 horns. So this beast that Daniel is seeing here, this fourth beast, is the same beast that John is seeing in Revelation chapter 13. And then in verse 8 he says, I was looking at the horns, suddenly another horn appeared among them. Three of the first horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it. This little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. Now go down to verse 15. He explains the beast, but then look at verse 23. Daniel wants to know more about this fourth beast. And he says, this fourth beast is the fourth world power that will rule the world. It will be different from all the others. It will devour, notice, the whole world. Now, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, they never conquered the whole world, but this fourth beast is going to conquer the whole world. And its 10 horns are 10 kings who will rule that empire. Then another king will arise different from the other 10 and will subdue three of them. And that's what happens here in the middle of the tribulation. Go back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And this is actually happening in the middle of the tribulation period. And let me read this to you from, I've talked about this book before, Footsteps of the Messiah by Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum. I think this is the best book ever written about Bible prophecy. It's a commentary on the book of Revelation, but he also gives a lot of other information. And he has really great charts. And this one chart he has is all the things that are going on in the middle of the tribulation. For example, in the middle of the tribulation, there's going to be a second world war. There's actually three world wars in the tribulation. There's a world war in the beginning of the tribulation. We see that in Revelation 6:8, the fourth horse. One-fourth of the world was killed through war, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. So that's the first world war of the tribulation. And one-fourth of the world population is killed. Think about that. In World War II, the greatest war in the history of the world, about 60 million people died. And your first world war, and just the beginning of the tribulation, one-fourth of the world population, folks, that's over 1 billion people will be killed. There's another world war in the middle of the trib, and then the final world war is at the end of the trib. That's what we also know as the the Battle of Armageddon. All the world is gathered to Armageddon, to attack Jerusalem, to wipe, to destroy the Jewish people, because that's Satan's final absolute goal, is to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. So there's a Second World War going on in the middle of the tribulation. The Antichrist will be killed. Satan is cast down to earth. We see that in Revelation chapter 12. The Antichrist is killed, but then he is raised back to life. Three of the ten kings will submit to him. There's the destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon. There's a worldwide persecution of the Jews. The Antichrist goes into the temple, sets himself up as God. The abomination of desolation is set up. That's an image that is set up to the Antichrist. The seven-year covenant is broken. The false prophet and the institution of 666, Mark the Beast, and the death of the two witnesses. All that is going on right here in the middle of the tribulation. Lots and lots of things going on. So here John sees in Revelation 13 this beast that has seven heads and ten horns. So what are these seven heads? Well, the seven heads of this beast. Now remember, this beast here in Revelation 13 is the same as the fourth beast that Daniel saw in his visions in, way back in Daniel chapter 7. And we know from history that that fourth beast was the Roman Empire. So you had Babylon replaced by Medo-Persia. Then there was the Greeks, and then the Romans. And at this time, this beast has seven heads. And so what are the seven heads? Are the seven heads of this beast are the seven stages of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire went through seven stages. The first stage was the imperial stage, and then there was the king stage. There was the counselor stage, the dictator stage, the republican stage, the triumphant stage. And the final stage, which has not happened yet, but the final stage will be here in the middle of the tribulation period, and that is what is known as the Antichrist stage. The Antichrist, when he rises to power in the middle of the tribulation, he will subdue three of the ten kings. All right, so the ten horns that Daniel sees on these seven heads are the final, the whole world being divided up into ten kingdoms. All right, so there's a move in the world today to set up a one-world government, and Scripture tells us, Daniel 7:23 says that the whole world will be divided up into ten kingdoms. Now today, they're not known as kingdoms, they're known as unions. I'm sure you're all familiar with what is known as the European Union. And years ago, when the European Union was getting started, there were just a couple of nations in it. And then when it got up to ten nations, everybody, you know, Bible prophecy got very excited. Said, oh yeah, this is it, this is the ten kingdoms Daniel was talking about. But Daniel says that these ten kingdoms don't just come from Europe, all right? They're the whole world. And so, and by the way, now today, the European Union is made up of, I think, 27 different nations, all right? So it's not just talking about the European Union. We can expect that eventually the one world government will be divided up into these ten, what we call today, unions, all right? There's going to be the European Union. There is already a South American Union. There is a there's the African Union. There is a move to make North America one union. So if you wonder why Joe Biden and Kamala Harris aren't concerned about our southern border, it's because there is a move to make Canada, America, Mexico, and some of those other states down there one of these unions. And we can expect eventually the whole world divided up, when the one world government is set up, these ten unions will be put in place. Daniel refers to them as ten kingdoms. In the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist overthrows three of those, and so he becomes then the eighth of those. Now he goes on to say in verse 3, I saw one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. And the whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. So in the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist receives a deadly wound. And it appears that he's dead. And actually, he does die. But he is raised back to life. And we see this also in Revelation chapter 11. when it's talking about the two witnesses. The two witnesses are ministering in the city of Jerusalem, Israel. And it says that the beast who ascends out of the bottomless pit overcomes them and kills them. So what happens is, in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist receives the deadly wound and he is killed. And because he is an unbeliever, you know, he doesn't believe in Jesus, he is ascending down into hell. And then he is raised back to life. God allows Satan the power to raise him back to life. And that's how he ascends out of, you know, out of the abyss. And when he does that, he kills the two witnesses. And verse 4 says, they worship the dragon. Who's the dragon? That, of course, is Satan, for giving the beast such power. And they also worship the beast. That's the Antichrist. And they say, who is as great as the beast? And they exclaim, who is able to fight against him? So at this point in the tribulation, the Antichrist is killed, raised back to life. He kills the two witnesses. And so it now appears that Satan has more power than God. You know, these two witnesses were witnessing for God. And since he is able to kill them, it now appears that he has more power. In verse 5, the beast was also was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God. Remember, Daniel saw that. He saw this little horn arise, and this little horn uprooted three of the horns, and he spoke great blasphemies against the God of heaven. That's what the Antichrist does. He, when he's brought back to life, he overpowers three of these kings, and he speaks great blasphemies against God. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names are not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. And so we've talked in the past how there is a book of, God has a book of life. And everybody who is ever born, their name is written in the book of life. But Psalm 69 says that if you die, when the wicked die, their name is blotted out of the book of life. And then when someone becomes a believer in Jesus, their name is written in another book called the Lamb's book of life. So in Revelation 20, when God opens the book, there are two books. There's the book of life and there's the Lamb's book of life. And unbelievers are shown that their name does not appear in the book of life because they're wicked. Their name has been blotted out. And they're shown that their name is not in the Lamb's book of life because they never became a believer in Jesus. So now look at the second beast in verse 11. John says, then he saw another beast come out of the earth. And the earth symbolically would refer to the nation of Israel. So while the Antichrist is not Jewish, and we know that from Daniel 9:27, that he is going to be of Roman origin. Daniel 9:26 and 27, we've looked at that in the past, where Daniel says that the people who destroyed the city of Jerusalem, the prince to come will be of those people. And we know from history that it was the Romans who destroyed the city of Jerusalem, 70 A.D., and so the Antichrist will be of Roman origin. He will not be Jewish. Years ago, people used to teach that the Antichrist would be Jewish. No, he will be of Roman, or he will be a Gentile of Roman origin. However, the false prophet rising out of the land tells us, no, he will be of Jewish. Now, a Jewish, I think it is, means also he is arising out of the land of Israel. He will come from the land of Israel. He has two horns like of a lamb, and he spoke with the voice of a dragon. Again, the dragon being Satan. He exercised all the authority of the first beast. So we have here what's called the unholy trinity. The holy trinity, of course, is Father, Son, Spirit. Here we have the unholy trinity. The unholy trinity is the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. Satan, of course, would correspond to God the Father. The Antichrist would correspond to Jesus. The false prophet corresponds to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit focuses our worship on Jesus, and that's what the false prophet does. He gets people to worship the Antichrist. And then, verse 12, he required all people on the earth and its people to worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astonishing miracles, even making fire fall down to earth from the sky while everybody was watching. Now remember, that was the two witnesses did those same miracles in Revelation chapter 11. And here the Antichrist and the false prophet are able to do the same miracles that the two witnesses did. And so a lot of people think, oh, if somebody does a miracle, they must be of God. Not necessarily, right? Remember when Moses went before Pharaoh. Moses did miracles, and Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate some of those miracles. So if somebody does a miracle, excuse me, you have to, excuse me, you have to not only look at the miracle, but that the message of the messenger that is giving that does the miracle. If the message of God's word does not line up with the miracles being done, all right, that person is not from God. And we see this here with the Antichrist and the false prophet. While they are able to do great miracles, their message does not line up with the message of the word of God. The message of the word of God is salvation through faith in Christ alone. Here the message of the false prophet and the Antichrist is you have to worship the Antichrist. And then in verse 14, it says that he ordered people to make a great statue of the first beast who was fatally wounded and came back to life. And he was permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. The statue of the beast commanded that everyone refusing to worship it must die. Now this statue, excuse me, this statue could be a regular, like, statue that Satan brings to life, or it could be talking about robotics. And robotics are being used more and more in religion today, and I wish I had our PowerPoint because I could show you a picture of a robot that's being used in worship over in India and in Hindu and in Japan. The Roman Catholic Church even has now robotic priests that are programmed to be able to answer simple questions. But can you imagine, thanks Dan, a robot, can you imagine down the road a priest robot that has all of the knowledge of like the internet programmed into him, you know, the whole knowledge of the scriptures of the word of God, all the knowledge of the world downloaded and programmed into this robot. You could ask it just about anything you want, and it has an answer. And so this is something and we're seeing already. And in fact, my dad just showed me this thing on the internet the other day where they're even able to take now, they're taking human flesh and be able to wrap it, use it, human flesh, and wrap around this, you know, these robots so they actually look human. And then he says that he required everyone, in verse 16, rich and poor, slave and free, to be given a mark in the right hand or forehead. No man can buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for as the number of man, his number is 666. Now, I was watching this series on TV, actually it was on Hulu, a documentary about a company called WeWork. Anybody heard of WeWork? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're international. They're in a lot of countries all around the world. And you probably can't see it very well, but the guy who founded this is an Israeli, a man born in Israel, by the name of Adam Neumann. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, this guy very well could be the false prophet. Remember, the false prophet rises out of the land of Israel. This Adam, kind of interesting. The Hebrew word means man, and Jesus' favorite title was the Son of Man. But he wanted to be, he wants to be the first president of the world. He wants to be the world's first trillionaire. And if you remember the peace treaty made a few years ago with Israel and the United Arabs and some of those countries, Adam Neumann was actually involved in that. And we know the tribulation starts when the Antichrist signs confirms a covenant with Israel. But then I came across another guy just a few weeks ago by the name, how many of you have heard of an Israeli name, Yuval Noah Harari? Anybody, Yuval Noah Harari? Right. Okay, a couple of you have. And I thought, you can come up and look at a picture of this guy later. But as I'm looking at this guy, I'm thinking, wow, this guy, I think, is even more convincing to me, more evidence that he could be very well be the false prophet. Adam Noah Harari wrote a book called Homo Deus, which is Latin for God-man. If you go on his website, and you could just, if you just type his name into Google, his website will come up. That's basically his name. His website is his name. And when you log on to his website, there is a quote from him that comes up, and it says, quote, "History began when humans invented gods and will end when humans become gods." He really believes that people, well, he believes, of course, in full-blown evolution. And he believes that people will eventually evolve to the point where we will become gods. And you know how that's going to happen? He thinks it's going to happen when we get computer chips planted in us. That's 666, folks. That's Mark of the Beast. Let me read this to you from, I just got off the internet, about this being shipped. They call it the Great Reset. How many heard of the Great Reset? Yep, okay. This is the one world government. The idea of a Great Reset can be traced back to 1971 when a man by the name of Klaus Schwab founded the World Economic Forum. The Great Reset is the name that has since been given to the project of establishing this world system, or a one world government. That's what Scripture says is going to happen in the end of in time. There's going to be a one world government set up. Schwab and the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and they just had a meeting a few weeks ago, and folks, they are going breakneck speed to try and set up this one world government. And the man intimately involved, intricately involved in this is this guy, Yuval Noah Harari, this Israeli guy. He's working hand in hand with Klaus Schwab. It's an organization made up of world political, economic, cultural elites. They meet annually in Davos, Switzerland. They're calling for a fourth industrial revolution, 4IR for short. Now get this. The first, second, and third industrial revolutions were mechanical, electrical, and digital revolutions. The fourth IR, fourth industrial revolution, marks the convergence of big data, artificial intelligence, machine learning, quantum computing, genetics, nanotechnology, and robotics. The result will be the merging of the physical, digital, and biological worlds, which will, of course, lead to 666 and Mark of the Beast. So what they want to do, Noah Harari, is they believe that by having a computer chip implanted in you, everything you know about you, do what you do, and everything's going to be known about you. Let me just tell you a little bit more about him. Yuval Noah Harari is born and lives in Israel. He is a homosexual. He's been married to someone homosexual for like 20 years. He says that the Bible, and he specifically mentions the resurrection of Jesus, is all fake news. He says this all Bible and God and all this stuff, this is in the past. We need to, as we evolve, we need to move on from worshiping gods to becoming gods ourselves. And calling for this computer chip to be planted in us. Now, let me show you this short video. You probably won't be able to see it very well, but you'll be able to hear it at least. And this is a short 3-minute video about this Noah Harari.
Cosmos is critical because this is what convinces people to accept the legitimacy. Total biometric surveillance. We want to stop this epidemic. We need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we've seen so far is corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now need mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his key, his ID, and his wallet.
Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition?
In a matter of seconds, the chip is inserted. Transformation is complete.
When scanned, all of a person's information about their vaccination status is shown on a reader or phone.
Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into God. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life. Humans are now hackable animals.
You build or none. When you build, happen.
I think that fake news has been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible. You know, there's a whole idea that humans have, you know, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether it's the election or whether it's the supermarket, it is my free will, that's all.
It's the same lie that Satan told Adam and Eve, isn't it? You will become gods. And they really believe that by doing that, not only will they become a god, they'll be able to live forever. So you can see how in the middle of the trip, that's going to be very attractive to people. But the problem is, everyone who takes the mark, they end up in the lake of fire. We're out of time, but folks, I'll tell you what, you can see how close this is. And when we realize, hey, the mark of the beast, that beast doesn't start until the middle of the trip. We're raptured out 3.5 years at least before that. How short the time must be. Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Lord, we thank you that your word is more up to date than tomorrow's paper. As we see the stage being set for your return, help us to be living, working for you in Jesus' name. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I saw that.
That same good man.